Morning, Home Church. We want to thank you for joining us this morning. We do have a few announcements to make. The church offices will continue to be closed until June 5th. All of our services are going to be available on our podcast. You can access them from our church website, www.homechurchnv.org, or www.homechurchnv.podbean.com. Youth group, this one's for you. Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we will be having a Zoom meeting. We will send out an email with the Zoom link. Miss Jane and Pastor Carlos have another video for the kids this Wednesday at 7 p.m. It will be on our YouTube channel, Home Church NV, and on our Facebook page. Last but not least, we are having our weekly prayer meeting on Zoom tomorrow, Monday night at 9 p.m. Getting together weekly to lift up needs before God has been amazing, and we would love for you to join us. Again, tomorrow, Monday, May 25th at 9 p.m. on Zoom for a prayer meeting. There will be an email sent out with the link to the Zoom meeting, so please keep an eye out for that, and please be sure to join us. Okay, church, we're going to move into a time of giving and worship. We want to thank you for all those who have been faithful in their tithes and their offerings. Please continue to give online if you are able. And if you are not able to give online, we encourage you to mail in a check. If you can't give online or you don't have a check, please reach out to myself or another board or staff member, and we can certainly make arrangements to make sure that your tithe or offering is received to honor God and keep supporting His work here at Home Church. Lord, we always count it a privilege, God, to be in your house, to be in your presence, Lord. And as we're all still being quarantined at home, we would ask that your presence would fill the living rooms, the bedrooms, Lord, wherever people are, your people, that we would be blessed, Lord, in your house, God, understanding that this is a time and it is also a season that surely will come to pass. And Lord, may your word be blessed today. We want to honor our veterans, those that have sacrificed their lives for our country. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you for our pastor. And we would ask, God, that you would anoint him, anoint the worship, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, good morning, church. So I want to read a small little quote here by Dale Abe Jones. It reads, "This weekend, tomorrow, is set aside to honor those who took the chance to die. But they have died in vain if we ever forget the reason why. Freedom can be like time, slipping away before we even know. But we all have the choice, more a duty, to battle freedom's foe. Let us give thanks this day to all those brave who paid the highest cost . Not take it for granted and realize it easily could be lost." I want to second Josh's prayer. We thank you, Lord, for those who have given their lives, who fought for the freedom we have. And we just lift up their families to you this morning. And Lord, we ask you that you just be with us as we worship you. Bless Josh as he leads us into worship. Let us focus on you now. We give you the praise and the glory. In your precious name, amen.
Sing with me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. In all times, in all seasons, Lord, we bless your name today. Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where your streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out on, turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Hallelujah, God, you are so good. Let's remain in an attitude of worship. Take me past the outer courts and through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord, I want to see your face. Pass me by the crowds of people and the priests to sing your praise. I hunger and thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place. Take me into the Holy of Holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. my lips, here I am. And take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. And take me past the outer courts, and through the holy place, past the brazen altar, Lord. I want to see your face, and pass me by the crowds of people, and the priests who sing your praise. I hunger and I thirst for your righteousness, but it's only found in one place. Take me into the holy of holies. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb. Take me into the holy of holies. Take the gold, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take me in by the blood of the Lamb, and take me into the holy of holies, and take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am. Take the coal, cleanse my lips, here I am.
Here we are, Lord, in your presence once again, Lord. We exalt you. We give you praise, God. We give you all the glory for all that you are in our lives, God, all that you are in this world, and all that you will be, Lord, in eternity, God. We exalt you. We praise you. We ask your blessing today upon your word, your anointing, God, upon the scripture, upon the message, Lord, that you have for us, God. Once again, Lord, help us to be receptive, Lord, not only to hear, but also to do what your word instructs and tells us, Lord. Anoint our pastor as he brings your word. In your precious name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good morning, church. How is everyone doing out there? I just want to say personally, I miss you all. I could see your faces here in the pews, and I can't wait until we can see each other in person again. But as I preach, I just want you to know I see your beautiful faces, first service and second service. And so it's a blessing, it's an honor to be able to speak God's word to you this morning. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 3. We're going to be reading some other scriptures. Malachi chapter 3, this is the foundation of the series. COVID-19 can't stop God's blessing. Let me start off by saying, it's not about how much we give, it's about how much he commands us to give. It's been said, if everyone in your church followed your pattern of giving, would God receive a token, a tip, or a tithe? Malachi chapter 3, it reads, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So, recap of last week, my first question that I asked was, do we think the way God thinks when it comes to money? We read Isaiah and how it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, says the Lord, right? Our logic and reasoning is different from God. And I gave some examples. You know, God says to We say to retaliate, God says to forgive. We as humans say keep, and God says to give. He says, my ways are different, are separate. We read in Malachi, will a man rob God? And we ask, how have we robbed you? And he says, you have robbed me in tithes and in offerings. So we were reminded to give our tithe, and we looked at the word tithe, and that means 10% of our income and offerings, no matter if we have a lot or a little, because we also read in Luke, he who is faithful in least is faithful also in much, and he who is unjust in least is unjust also in much. And at the end of that verse, it read, you cannot serve God and mammon. And lastly, we spoke on how you and I manage our money is a gauge of our values, right? God doesn't need to follow us everywhere to know what our values are. He just needs to look in our bank statement. And he can know what we truly value. And again, there's nothing wrong with having material gain and awesome things and cool stuff. But does God's portion come first? God wants you to trust him by giving him your first fruits, 10%. Before we pay anything else, you are showing God that you trust him to take care of all your needs, and that's all he wants. And again, let me remind you, this is not a give-to-get-rich series, because there's more to blessings than just money. Can some testify to that? You know, the peace of God, knowing that he will take care of you and that all your needs will be met through him, is far more than what money could ever buy. Again, COVID-19 can't stop God's blessing when we obey and trust. God has the ability to meet our needs. And God also does have a purpose behind money. And so this is part two. God has a purpose behind money and how he uses it. Somebody say, God, use me. Amen. God, use me. I have a couple points. Point number one. If you get your pens out, and I so appreciate the emails that I've been getting regarding this series. It's very uplifting. And hearing some of the stories. And again, if you would like to share a story with me, feel free to email me, to hit us up. It's very encouraging to hear God moving. And so, point number one, write this down. God can use money to demonstrate his power and faithfulness. I'll say that again. God can use money to demonstrate his power and faithfulness. There are so many stories of people receiving checks in the mail to pay a bill, to take care of a need. And I don't know about you, but how many of you know supernatural provisions still exist? They still happen. Amen? I want to give you a few stories in the Bible where God blessed them supernaturally. Let this encourage you this morning. Let's go to Matthew chapter 17. I'll give you a little bit of time. Matthew chapter 17. And after Matthew, we're going to be going to 2 Kings chapter 4. So Matthew chapter 17. If you could turn there with me. Matthew chapter 17, it reads, verse 24. When they had come to Capernaum, those who received the temple tax came to Peter and said, Does your teacher not pay the temple tax? He said, yes. And when he had come into the house, Jesus anticipated him, saying, what do you think, Simon? From whom do the kings of the earth take customs or taxes? From their sons or from strangers? Peter said to him, from strangers. Jesus said to him, then the sons are free. Verse 27, nevertheless, lest we offend them, go to the sea, cast in a hook, and take the fish that comes up first. And when you have opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. Take that, give it to them for me and you. What does this teach us right here? I mean, there's so much packed into this scripture, but what does this teach us? You know, the point I'm trying to make. No, it's not fishing, even though I love to fish. They had a temple tax they had to pay, right? And they asked Peter, does Jesus pay the temple tax? And when Peter came into the presence of Jesus, Jesus already knew what he was going to ask, right? He said, look, why don't you go down to the lake and fish? And you have to understand, for Peter and these guys, for Peter, this was work. It wasn't a hobby like for me, you know, fishing. I'd be like, heck, this was work. Jesus said, why don't you go down and work? Go fish, right? And the first fish you catch, he said, reach into the mouth of that fish and you're going to find some money. And pay my taxes. And oh yeah, while you're at it, pay yours too at the same time. And here's what I need you to see, is God supernaturally met a need. Jesus was like, I don't have the money right now. Right? Jesus didn't have the money, but he wasn't stressed out. He said, look, I don't have it right now, but why don't you go fish? And the first fish you catch, open that mouth, the fish's mouth, and pay yours, and oh yeah, and pay mine. Amen. You know, I don't got the money right now, but I'm not stressed out because I got the power to get the money. Amen. Here's what I'm trying to say. We serve a God who can help you get money and find resources in unexpected places. This is not a fairy tale. This is not a story that just came from Disney. This is real life stuff. We serve a God who can get you finances, blessing in unexpected places. Please turn to 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. And there's a story of Elisha and the widow's oil. And we're going to read right now. 2 Kings chapter 4. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels, do not gather just a few. Verse 4, and when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her, and her sons brought the vessels to her. Again, there's some work involved here. There's some action. There's some obedience. There's some preparation all going on right here. And she poured it out. Verse 6, now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Verse 7, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil, and pay your debt. And when you have your sons, and you and your sons live on the rest. Here's what's so awesome about this story. The prophet Elijah told her to go and gather vessels. Not just a few, as many as you can find. Take the oil that you have and fill up the vessels. And the oil didn't cease until she ran out of vessels. As long as she had vessels, the oil continued to flow. God supernaturally moved. And I don't know about you, but how many can testify even this morning that God can move and continue flowing and his oil can move in our lives today? Then the man of God said, take those vessels and sell it. And I hope next week I have time to come back to this story because there's so much in here that we can go over. It's packed with so much crazy, just amazing insight. But one of the things I get from this story is when she was able to pay off all her debt with what she had in the house. That's one of the things I get from here, which, you know, some of us want to get out of debt, and we can get out of debt if we just got rid of some stuff. You know? If we just sold a little, sold some stuff, got rid of some stuff, because we can accumulate things, right? We're accumulators. And so, no? Okay, I'll keep moving on. God can use money to demonstrate his power and faithfulness to you and I. Okay, that was point number one. The question is, will you obey him? Money is one of the most talked about things in the Bible, and there's a reason for that. You ever wonder why money, Jesus talked about it? It's all over Scripture. Point number two, God can use money to reveal our heart's condition. Write that down. God can use money. You can even personalize it. God can use money to reveal my heart's condition. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this. God is concerned about the condition of your heart. God is concerned about the condition of your heart. So the question that I had for myself and for you now is, how is your heart when it comes to this topic, giving to the kingdom of God? Is your heart divided? And this is where we can be honest. This is where you can be honest with yourself. You're wherever you're at right now, you can write this down. How is my heart when it comes to this topic? Where am I at? Is my heart divided? Am I torn? Where are we? This is so important, church, because it's right here where many leave. It's right here where many walk away. It's right here where some will never experience God's power. His will that he has for them in their lives. It's right here. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16. Verse 16, it says, now behold, one came to him. Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I might have eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? I say this a lot, church. I want to stop right there. I say that a lot, but Jesus is just so amazing. Jesus, always pointing to the Father. Always pointing to his father. Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments. Verse 18, he said to him, which ones? Jesus said, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Here's a man, stop right there. Here's a man who thought that if he did all the right things, he could have anything he wanted. Verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, Joe, Jesus is amazing. If you want to be perfect, that mature, seasoned, that's what that word means right there. Go sell what you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven and come follow me. Sounds a little familiar, huh? Come follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The bottom line is Jesus told this young man, you're doing all the right things, but there's this one thing. It was a test of his heart. Sell all that you have. Again, there's nothing wrong with having money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. What saddens me is what more could we have read if this young man would have obeyed God? What chapters would we have discovered? His story could have ended up so much differently. The impact he could have made for the kingdom of God. Come follow me, Jesus told him. It's the same thing he told the disciples. Some would say the disciples were on the opposite side of the spectrum. They didn't have anything, so they had. But how many know that even broke people can be stingy? It's not just people with money, right? So it has nothing, but this man, come follow me, but he walks away sorrowful. This morning, how will you walk away from this sermon? Because Jesus is also telling you and I to follow him. Again, it's not about how much we give. It's about how much he commands us to give. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. I'm going to go to another scripture now. I'm scripture happy. This series is pretty cool because we can just read scripture after scripture. Mark chapter 10, verse 23. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, children, how hard is it for those who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? Then he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. When it speaks of the eye of a needle, it's not only narrow, but it's only tall enough for a man to walk through. A camel would not only have to unload all its baggage, but the camel would have to get on its knees and walk through. So in order for a rich man to be saved, not only must he unload his possessions, but he also must kneel before God. God is looking at your heart. God is looking at our heart this morning. He wants us to be sold out to him and his kingdom. This is the difference between the people God can use and not use. You see, the young man that we read earlier did all the right things, but this one thing, he refused to surrender. He did all the right things. What else do I lack? Jesus said, go sell all that you have. Give to the poor. Follow me. What a sad day. Can you imagine the disciples too right there watching? I mean, they're just, wow, man, this guy got so much. Oh my gosh, if this guy was on our team and what we can do with this guy's money, and God's like, hey, I got this. I just want his heart. We don't need his money. I just want his heart. Come follow me. But that one thing, he refused to surrender. You know, when you give yourself to God, you give your heart to God. And when you give your heart to God, there's no question that you're willing to give him your money. It saddens me because there are so many people who are consumed with money. Money, 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 money. Consumed. It controls their life. Some people break up relationships all because of money. In that worldly process, families get destroyed. Relationships break and get all messed up over money. I remember somebody told me one time, years ago, I'm never gonna let money be a breaking point with me and somebody else. Keep the money. I don't want it. That our relationship would be broken. And how we allow money to ruin our relationships, and most importantly, how we allow money to ruin our relationship with God. You robbed me. How have we robbed you? In tithes and in offerings. I mean, no, we can make more money, but we can't make another friend. We can make more money, but we can't make another brother, a sister, a father, a mother. If someone owes you money, they're probably saying amen right now. But there's another sermon for them for another day. No worries. I've seen countless tragedies over money. God can use money to reveal our heart's condition. Amen. I want to take this time right now. I don't want to keep you too long. And we're going to go into a time of prayer. We're going to go into a time of song. And while our brother sings this song, I want you to really take this time and be honest with where you're at when it comes to this subject. Write it down. Lay it at the feet of Jesus. I understand it can be tough. But Jesus says, try me. God says, try me. We could have our heads bowed and our eyes closed right now, just for a moment. Wherever you're sitting, It saddens me, the rich young ruler walked away sorrowful. Because he relied on himself and his own material gain. This morning, brothers, sisters, you don't have to walk away sorrowful. You don't have to turn off the podcast wherever you're at and walk away making an excuse. Walking away sorrowful like this young man did. You see, he had everything going for him. He did everything right, but there was this one thing, and Jesus this morning is reminding you to follow him. To believe in him, to trust in him, to surrender to him. That his will may be done in your life. Don't let money get in the way of your relationship with God. This morning, if you would like to make a commitment and say, God, I commit my life to you, but not only my life, I'm going to take a step of faith and I'm going to commit my finances to you too, Lord. I commit to you fully this morning. I commit my life, my finances, and I would encourage you right now to write that down. And maybe this morning you are giving to the work of God, and this is something that you have been doing. You're giving tithes and offerings, but there's something else that's weighing on you. There's something else that's maybe bothering you right now. And this morning I want you to know the God in heaven, while I was praying this morning, wants you to know that he sees what you're going through and he knows what's happening and nothing is going to get past him. God wants me to encourage you to give it to him this morning. Just lay it at his feet and say, God, I can't carry this any longer. I'm going to trust in you. I give this to you. So as we sing this song, I want you right now to take this time and pray, meditate, worship with us, make your commitments. Laid at the feet of Jesus this morning. Amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Taking my cross, my sin, my shame, rising again, I'll bless your name. You are my all in all. Seeking seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus. Jesus. Lamb of God. Worthy is your name. Jesus. Lamb of God.
Don't walk away sorrowful. There's no reason to walk away sorrowful. I want to tell you this morning, if someone has broke trust, if somebody has lied, if somebody has not kept their word, know that Jesus, God in heaven, has never failed me. He will never fail you. Trust him completely. Trust him completely. Surrender to him. We're going to pray right now. For those, maybe this morning, you want to commit your life to him. You want to commit your heart. You say, man, Jesus lived in my heart, but he's not there anymore. I want you to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I am sorry. I do believe that you died for me and you rose on the third day. Make me a new person, a new creation. This morning, I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, amen. And for those, maybe this morning, maybe right now, you're still on the fence. Maybe you're still on the fence. Let me, by God's grace, by his mercy, let me help you come down on the other side. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I not only commit my life, I surrender my finances to you right now. My whole life, everything belongs to you. Dear Lord, I pray, God, that you would have a grace and a mercy upon those, God, maybe right now, God, that you would show them your promise, God, that they would trust you, that they would have more trust in you than they have in their seatbelt, that they would have more trust in you, God, than they would have in this world's economy, that they would have in any governor or any president, God, that they would trust in you. God, you have never failed. God, we thank you. We worship you. We honor you. We honor you for your word. We honor you for your promises and for keeping those promises, God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. This morning, again, I just want to remind you, if you have a testimony that you would like to share, email it to me, text me. We're going to pray as we end the service this morning. On this Memorial Day weekend, we pray for those who have laid down their lives for the cause of freedom. May the examples of their sacrifice inspire us all today. The selfless love that they not only had, but your Son, Jesus Christ. Bless all the families of the fallen troops. All those who know someone, bless them in their homes today, this weekend. We give you the praise and the glory. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. That was a powerful message from Pastor Carlos. Again, we want to thank you for joining our podcast today. May you be blessed. We also want to remind you about our Zoom prayer meeting tomorrow night, 9 p.m. Please join us for that. Have a blessed Sunday. We love you very much. Look forward to seeing you soon. God bless. The fire has left your dream. Do you not know? Have you not heard? Faith is a bird, and its wings are his holy word. Fly, eagle, fly. Hold your head high. Soar upon the spirit wind. Oh, fly, eagle, fly. Up into the sky. Ride the golden wings of there is hope that won't pass away. It's the power.